Well, welcome to everyone tonight that's with us on a road's a little bit slippery in places, anyway. So we really appreciate seeing each one that has come tonight. Thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate that. And remember, tomorrow night, this week, the gospel meeting, Lord willing. And we often say, if the Lord be not come, tomorrow night at 7:30 again will be for the preaching of the gospel here in this building. No meeting on Saturday night. But then again, Sunday night at 7:30, and next week, Lord willing, 7:30 again each night. So thank you very much for being with us, and we just remind the Christians, I know you are, but to pray for the meetings, that it might please the Lord to draw near and bless. So through the day, whether it be mealtime or driving along in your vehicle or whatever, not like one person that said, well, I can't pray in my vehicle, driving along my vehicle because I can't close my eyes. Well, you don't have to close your eyes. To ask the Lord to draw near and to bless his word. And so to pray for the meetings. So it's just a reminder. I know everyone is doing that for sure. So now before we read the Bible together, we'll pray. Our Father in heaven, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, we pause a moment here tonight. We're thankful for the privilege again that's granted to us in this day in which we live to gather here in this building, to be able to sing the words of these hymns together. We're thankful for everyone in this company that can go back to a day and a moment and a time in our life's experience when at the cross we saw by faith the one who died there was in our room instead. And we're thankful, Father, tonight for everyone that knows their sins forgiven and that enjoys peace with God and their soul. And know without a doubt whatsoever that heaven is theirs at the end of life's journey. And so we're thankful tonight. We would be thankful for everyone that's saved. And yet we pray tonight for those that are still without the Savior. And we ask, Father, it might please thee to draw near tonight in our company here, that the Spirit of God might work among us, and that there might be a time of visitation of God working and moving, and souls being awakened to their need and saved by matchless grace. And so we commit ourselves to thee here. We pray for a good godly gospel meeting right to the close. And wherever the gospel is going forth tonight, right across the land, we ask our Father that thou wouldst be pleased to bless thy word. So we're shut up to thee. We need thy help. We commit ourselves into thy hand now. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. I'm going to read tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We read this portion last night. I'm going to read it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And again, we'll read it verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, reading it verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas and of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Down a little farther. Verse 11, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. Because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. Now the Lord bless his word. I'm sure the reading of his word, and just briefly, actually there's just that one little portion of one of these verses that I'm thinking about tonight. When I think about the message of the gospel, in the Old Testament, in the Bible, there's a verse that says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And so we know what it's like to be thirsty at times. And so when you're thirsty, of course, a good drink of water is always great. Always want a good drink of water when you're thirsty. Well, you know what? You know what the Bible says? Good news from a far country is just like that. And what we have tonight in the preaching of the gospel really is good news from a far country. And that's really a message from heaven. Because that message originated in the heart of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So God is the source of that good news, that message. And we read about that message tonight. I'm sure if I was to ask some of the boys and girls here tonight, what is the gospel? Sometimes we ask that to the boys and girls. What is the gospel anyway? If someone asked you what is the gospel, how would you define the word gospel? And of course, we have it defined here in a very simple way anyway. It is Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. So the message that we're preaching tonight is really a message about a person. And that is a person who died, a person that was buried, and that was proof that he died. They bury a person when a person dies, they're buried. So when Christ was buried, it was proof that he had died. But you know, the third day, when they went to that tomb, the tomb was empty. Because Christ rose from the dead. So the man that we're presenting and preaching in the gospel is the man that died, was buried, and rose again the third day. And because he lives tonight, you know, because Christ lives tonight, you know what's available for men and women, boys and girls? Salvation, of being saved, of being ready, made ready for heaven. Sins all forgiven. Every sin, no matter how big those sins are, no matter how many those sins are, no matter what those sins are, the Bible says because Christ is risen from the dead, we can have our sins, everyone, forgiven. And that's the message of the simple message anyway, in a simple way, the message of the gospel. So I'm thinking of Christ died for our sins. Christ died, that's crucifixion, of course. That reminds me of the cross, where he died upon the cross for our sins, a substitution. Because when he died on the cross for our sins, it wasn't for his sins, for he was innocent. He was perfect. The only man that ever walked the face of God's earth, the face of this world, that never had a bad thought. And I suppose most of us today, tonight, if our thoughts were put on this screen up here, or this one, whichever one you wanted, if our thoughts today, just today, not the past week, not the past year, not the past 10 years, but if they all were to roll over and over these screens up here, you know what? Well, I'd try to get back to Nova Scotia as fast as I could get there. If our thoughts, just our thoughts, not our words, that wouldn't even be what we said, the words we spoke. That wouldn't even be what we did in our lives. If God was to record and put on those screens our sins, you know, most of us here, I think we would probably be ashamed. We'd probably, our faces, we don't blush much in these days, I realize. But you know, probably a lot of us, our face would turn a bit red. Well, when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, do you know what? He never had one wrong thought. Never said one wrong word. Never did one wrong thing. Never took one wrong step. And yet on the cross, you know why he was on the cross? He was there for you and for me. He was dying not for any of his sins, because he had none. He was perfect. But he was dying there because of our sins. He was dying there because of my sins. And you know, I enjoy that hymn, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. But I'm thankful tonight there was a moment and a day that we talked about a little bit last night, when for the first time in my life, I came to appreciate that the man who died on the cross at Calvary, the man who was buried, and the man who rose the third day from among the dead, that he is my Savior. Is he yours tonight? If we were to ask you tonight in this meeting, and the boys and girls, you know, if we were to ask you tonight, is that man your Savior? Has there been a day, a time in your life when you've trusted him as your Savior? Well, I want to tell you tonight, that's why he died. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he gave his life. That's why he suffered all that he suffered, is that you and I might be saved. So Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And that's the revelation. How do I know he died for my sins? How do I know that anyway? Well, it's revealed to me from the Bible. It's from this book. And everything, my friend, in this book, you can rely upon 100%. 100% without a failure whatsoever. What the Bible says, that's how God reveals to you and to me our need of a Savior and what the Savior did for us. So I'm thinking of the message of the gospel, good news. Just as cold waters to a thirsty soul. If you're thirsty, I wish there was a thirsty person in this meeting tonight to know their sins forgiven, to know peace with God, to know what life is all about. You know, I used to say often in preaching, as trying to preach anyway, you know, I often said, you know, God's salvation makes me ready for heaven. But you know what I've since learned a little bit? Not only does it make me ready for heaven, but it makes me ready for this life. It's not only good for heaven, my friend, but it's good for this life. It gives us something that, and you know, a Christian life's not a boring life. If it's boring, well, I don't find the Christian life boring, full, and it's occupied. And it can be enjoyable. I know there's ups and downs in life. We all have them in life. But you know, God's salvation brings into our lives something that this old world out there couldn't even begin to give. Is empty. One man said, you know, if we had no future, if there was no future in life, life would be worthless. If there was no future, life would be worthless. What would be the good of it anyway? We live, work, struggle, strain, and all the rest of it, and then we die, and that's the end. Like, what would be the good of life? Well, there is a future, and God says we need to make ready for that future. That's why Christ died. So in the gospel, I'm thinking it's a preached message. You know, God always preached down through the scriptures. There was always preachers. God always had preachers. And there was a message that was always needed to be preached. Noah, in the early days, it says Noah was a preacher. And he preached because judgment was coming. It was a day in which he was living, much like our day today. And as he looked into the future, God says, you know, Noah, in the future there's judgment coming. And it's coming because the very thoughts of man's heart is only evil continually. And the wickedness of man is great in the earth. And there's judgment coming because of man's sin. And you know what is no different today? You know what the Bible says? Just like it was in Noah's day. The days when the Lord is coming. Judgment is coming on this world. Can't go on the way it's going. A lot of people will agree with that, even those that hardly know the gospel. This world, the way this world is going, this world we're living in, one of the governors in the States talking to one of the news people, they said, well, we're kind of safe, you know, here in the United States of America and up there in Canada. And he said, you're not safe anywhere in the world. We're not safe anywhere in the world. We're living in a world that's just ripening for judgment that's coming. And that's what Noah preached. And that's the message of the Bible tonight. It's a very relevant message, a very present message. That's why, my friend, there's an urgency for God's salvation. That's why you can't really afford to play with it. That's why you really can't afford, and we could never preach that, you know, get saved later, next week or next month, or, you know, in the preaching of the gospel, that's why the Bible says it's right now. Right now, my friend, that's when a person needs to be saved, because there's no guarantees of tomorrow for none of us, for no one, young or old. I've often said, one day thinking about it, you know how easy it is to leave this world? You know how easy it is to leave this world? Wouldn't have to be a car accident. Wouldn't have to be some terrible disease that we would suffer with for a while. You know how easy it is to leave this world? Well, I'll show you. You know, right in here, there's a little thing that just ticks away. I put my ear on my grandson's chest here a little while ago, and in there it was going boom, 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 you know, right fast. But as you get a little older, it slows down a little bit most of the time. And you know, in here, you know what it would take for to leave here, even while we're sitting here tonight? Listen, can you hear it? Boom, boom, boom. You know what that is? Boom, boom. That's all it would take. Just never made another one. Just never boom again. And the speaker, be no different. I would leave here, and I would go there, and I would leave instantly before you could get here to try to help. That's how quickly our little life could end. You know what God says? God says that's why now, right now, the urgency is right now. You know, you could get saved before you left this meeting tonight. That's the good news of the preaching of the gospel. Wouldn't matter who you are, my friend, or how much you've gospel you've heard or how little gospel you've heard. A woman came to meetings in Vancouver there one night. She had Kimber Jr., first time I was ever there. And anyway, one of the brethren there invited this lady to come that he had worked for about 2 years prior. So he went down the list of in his little book of people that he'd done some business for. And so he calls this lady, French lady, and tells her there's gospel meetings on and would like to invite her to the gospel meeting. She said, when are they? Well, he said, they're ongoing right now. We've started. Well, she said, could I come tonight? Can you imagine? Could I come tonight? Never in a gospel meeting in her life. Didn't know what a gospel meeting was. Came out from France. And her mom came with her in the meeting. I can see them yet, sitting about right there, third row back. Her mom couldn't understand English and couldn't speak English, all French, but she sat there in the meeting. And before we were in a prayer meeting, and before the meeting started, she was looking at a chart, this chart, just like this one, similar anyway. And as she looked at this chart, you know what she discovered? Highgate. You know what she discovered? Where she was on the chart before the meeting started. She figured it out where she was on this chart. Halfway through that meeting, John 3:16, where is it? Over here. Halfway through the meeting, someone quoted John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you know what she told us the next day? She said, as that verse was quoted, she said, Jesus became mine. First gospel meeting, halfway through a first gospel meeting. And that woman trusted Christ as her Savior, realizing her need, recognizing where she was, going in the wrong direction, going to be lost, going to be in hell forever. And she realized that she needed a Savior. And you know, my friend, in this meeting, as the gospel is preached, when the gospel, you could be saved tonight before you leave this building. That's the goodness of the grace of God. So it's preached. You know, there's others preached in the Bible. Jonah was a man that preached. He didn't have a very good message. He didn't have much love in his message when Jonah was preaching. You know, we preach God so loved the world. Jonah didn't preach nothing about love. You know what Jonah preached? He said, 40 days. You got 40 days. That's all you've got, 40 days. And then Nineveh's going. Going to be destroyed. And Nineveh shall be overthrown. 40 days. If we had only 40 days. If you knew you had 40 days, what would you do? What if you only had 40 minutes? What if it was only 40 seconds? Well, we don't know, do we? No one knows. That's just how the little thread of life, how brittle it is. Jonah said, 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And you know what happened? It says they believed God. They took Jonah's message, but they believed God. We hope tonight, our prayer would be is that you might recognize that God is looking for you. God is interested in you. Whether you're a boy or a girl, a man or a woman, whether you've heard the gospel, brought up in it all your life, have never heard it before, my friend, God is interested in you as an individual. And there was a man out in the desert one day, and he's reading the Bible. It's good to read the Bible. That's where you find out what God says. And he's journeying across this desert, and a man comes up to him, runs up alongside of his chariot, and he says, do you know what you're reading? Well, he says, how do I know? How can I understand? Except somebody tells me, and it says that Philip got in the chariot, and he preached unto him Jesus. So Philip preached, and he preached about this man, what we're talking about, read about tonight, the man who died, who was buried, and who rose again the third day. And because he lives, that's why salvation is offered tonight. So it's a message that is preached. It's a message that is, it's a plain message. Sometimes we complicate it, for sure, but it's really a plain message. It's a message of simplicity. It's a message about heaven and getting ready for heaven. It's a message about hell and the judgments of God that awaits a person that misses this great salvation. My friend, the Bible says only two places. There's only two, not three, not a dozen. Two places the Bible speaks about. I never liked that when I was growing up. It's like some of these younger ones here. I didn't mind thinking about heaven. You know, most people don't mind thinking about heaven. But to think about there might be another place, well, you hardly like to think about that. One little fellow said, well, we was talking with the boys and girls, and so we asked him about the two places on the chart, and he said, well, there's heaven, and then there's the black place. Wouldn't say hell. He said, that's a bad word. It's a bad place, too. One man said, tell my brother not to come to this place of torment. is a black place. So there's the yellow place on the chart or the black place. Which place are you going? Where are you going to be? You know what God wants? He wants you to be in the yellow place. You know what the Christians want? You know what mom and dad wants? I knew my mom and dad wanted me to be in heaven more than anything else. They didn't care about, really, my dad didn't care. I can remember when exam time came in school, of course, you know, oh, we got to study for exam. And I didn't even care for school. I didn't care if I even went. And, oh, got to study for exam, so can't go to meeting tonight if there was meetings on. You know what my dad said? Well, he said, you can take that grade next year if you want, if you have to. Go next year, take the same grade again. If this is your chance for salvation, that is number one. That's the most vital thing right now. Take your school another year, so what? But you may not get another opportunity to be saved. And so, mom and dad. I'm sure mom and dad's in our meeting. If you're not saved, boys or girls tonight, your mom and dad, I'm sure, has a heart burden that you might find a Savior. So it's a plain message. Heaven, hell, sin, death, the Lord's coming. It's a personal message. You know, it's very personal, the message of the gospel. And so that's why I can fit my name into all these verses here, because it's personal. It takes me in. You know, I know it takes the whole world in, but it takes me in. And I'm part of that world. I was telling them down there a little while ago, I went across to Prince Edward Island, and I'm sure a lot have been across to Prince Edward Island. There's a big bridge that they put in, this great big bridge that goes, 9 kilometers or 9 miles across the straits there, from New Brunswick across to Prince Edward Island, this bridge. And I'm traveling across this bridge, driving along over this big bridge, big structure. And you know what I thought? You know what? They made this bridge for me. And I'm driving along. This bridge is all for me. I'm enjoying the bridge. Oh, I knew some other people were going to use it too, and they could enjoy it too. But that bridge, I was enjoying it just for myself. You know what I thought? You know, when Christ died on the cross, he died for me. Oh, I know it takes in everybody else too. It takes in you tonight. That's the message of the gospel. And it takes in this world. It's a message that can go right around the whole world to every person. But it was a moment when I appreciated it was for me personally. It's a personal message. One of the boys in Newfoundland, off fishing off in one of the draggers, off a place called St. Anthony, way out in the Atlantic one night, and on this big dragger, and it was a rough night. And he's there, and he's reaching out over. They're bringing one of the draggers' drag net back in over the stern of that dragger, and he's guiding or doing something when overboard he goes. Overboard in the Atlantic. In the night, winds were high waves, and the shout went out, man overboard! And so they turned on those great big spotlights on that dragger to the Atlantic Ocean. I tell you, you'd begin to think then pretty quick. I'd have probably had a heart attack before I hit the water. And he's, man overboard! His name is Enos. Talked to him lots of times. One of the men grabbed a life ring. Ran to the side of that big dragger, and Enos is going down, and he's coming up, and he's going down, and the fellow takes that life ring, and he slings it with all his might. And you know what happened? That life ring, when Enos came up, that life ring went right down over him in the Atlantic Ocean, off of the stern of that big dragger. That life ring went right down. You know what he did? Guess what he did? He grabbed that life ring with all his might. He laid hold upon that ring. You know why? Because that life ring was going to be his salvation. As they hauled him aboard that vessel. He said he'd never go out again. He said he was done. But you know, after a little while, he got over the fear and went back. You know what we're doing tonight? We're throwing you a life ring. The life ring, the person of the Lord Jesus. And my friend, if you were to lay hold upon him tonight, if you were to take him tonight, I want to tell you, better than the Atlantic, better even than the Atlantic Ocean. He could have perished. But if you don't get the life ring, the Lord Jesus, my friend, you'll perish eternally. It'll be an eternal loss. And so it's a personal message to lay hold upon. Christ died for our sins. Right? Does that mean you? Christ died for our sins. So it's personal. Not only that, but it's powerful. That's what I enjoy too. It's powerful. The message of the gospel, it is powerful. You know what? It'll change your life. And not only change your life, but it'll change your destiny. It'll change a person from the inside out. And it makes a person ready for heaven. It's so powerful that the blood of Christ can forgive every sin. One has said the blood of Christ will do three things. It satisfies God. The blood of Christ that was shed on the cross, God in heaven was satisfied with the work that he did on the cross. That's why he raised him from the dead. Satisfied. The blood of Christ satisfies God. The blood of Christ saves us all. Cleansed by the precious blood of Christ. And it silences the devil. Can't stand against the blood. And so tonight we present to you a man who shed his blood at the place called Calvary, who died. A sacrifice was given, made, that you and I might be saved. And then it's a peacemaking message because it brings peace to my soul with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what you can do? You can lay your head on the pillow at night when you go to bed. And if something happens through the night, well, you know that all is well for eternity. If the Lord comes while you're sleeping, you know, when your eyes are closed and you're not thinking about the Lord's coming, if the Lord comes while you're there sound asleep, not going to miss it. He's going to take everyone, sleeping or awake, when the Lord comes. You know what that gives? That gives peace. Do you have peace tonight? When you think about the Lord's coming, does that give you peace? Or going, leaving this world? You know what? You know what the death of Christ gives? Peace. Peace with God. So I quote my verse and then I close. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, died for whose sins? Whose sins did he die for? Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And because he lives tonight, my friends, you can have your sins forgiven by trusting him, by taking what he is offering. God grant that you might accept him tonight.